Well, happy Easter. What a great day it is to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And a first for King of Kings is we've got King of Kings Northwest Omaha celebrating their first Easter together. Come on, give it up for Northwest Omaha campus. Yeah. What a beautiful day to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus together as one. Have you noticed a trend lately in people verbing words? It's when you take a noun and you turn it into a verb, and it's actually nothing new. Like Shakespeare was a master at this, but with the rise of social media, we're doing it more and more. And so let me give you a few examples. You didn't realize, by the way, you were coming to an English class on Easter today, but you are. And so here's a few. Pencil, right? As a noun, it's a writing instrument or utensil. As a verb, it's like to halfway commit to a meeting, right? Let me pencil you in for next Wednesday. Table. It's something that hopefully we gather around later today to eat a great, delicious meal to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus with awesome food and high-calorie items, including beef. Amen? But as a verb, it's like, we'll talk about that later. We'll table that for another day. How about beef? I've just talked about beef. Even as a net, we live in the state of great beef. But as a verb, it is like to add to something. So before I turn in this assignment, I need to beef it up a little bit. Probably the noun that's been verbed more in the last decade than any other is the word, have you heard it? Adulting. And the definition is just like doing responsible adult-like behaviors, even sometimes mundane tasks. And so some people, maybe out of the house for the first time in their life, once they cook a meal, they'll put a picture of the meal on social media, hashtag adulting. And it's like, that's actually not that hard to do. Your parents did it for you for 42 years in a row. We do this so many times, right? We bookmark websites, we elbow our way out of crowds, ghost the ones we don't want to talk to, friends the ones that we do. We butter our bread, salt our potatoes, voice our opinions, and lace up our shoes. I don't know if there's a rhyme or reason to it, though, because have you noticed we bike places, but we don't car places? Our meals get plated, but our drinks don't get cupped, and our soups don't get bowled. What is any of this? Interestingly, the Oxford Dictionary says this: any English noun can be verbed, but some are more resistant than others. And I have found a noun this year that is not resistant at all. And the noun is this: Easter. I came with a message and a goal this year that you would turn Easter as a noun into a verb in your life. Now, what does this even mean? And before you think I'm going crazy here, let me prove a theological case of what I'm doing today is very biblical. Because a lot of you, some of you may know that the book in the Bible in the Old Testament, right after Psalms, is called what? Some of you said Proverbs. It's actually pronounced Proverbs. My dad told me that one. He retired a couple of years ago, so I'll maybe tell him to table that one from the next conversation. But anyway, Easter as a noun, this is what it says, is the most important and oldest festival of the Christian church, the one day of the calendar year on the first Sunday after the full moon following the northern spring equinox that we come together and gather to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And I love this day. I love that we just had a full moon this last week and the spring equinox is already done. I love that you came on this day to celebrate Easter with us together, but I came with an announcement this morning. As great as this one day is, I don't believe it was meant to just be celebrated one day a year, but every single day of the year. And that's why I'm asking you to turn Easter from a noun into a verb this year. Easter as a noun is that one day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Easter as a verb then is the fact that you and I can celebrate and or live out of the resurrection realities any day we want to. How cool is that? Last I checked, we don't have to wait till after the spring equinox or for the full moon to have occurred. We can praise God and celebrate Easter before, during, and after the summer solstice. You can talk about the resurrection of Jesus in August or in November. Did you know that? You can do it when there's a full moon, when there's a half moon, and when the moon looks like a banana. You can celebrate Easter each and every day. How good is that? Because I believe what Jesus did on this Easter Sunday, it is good and right to come together and get hyped up one day a year. But it is more than hype. It gives us hope every day of the year. And that's what happens when you turn Easter from a noun into a verb. Last December, I was preaching through the book of Revelation, and one of the books I read to go alongside of it was a book by N.T. Wright called Surprised by Hope. And it actually, the words kind of inspired a little bit of where this Easter message came from. And so I want to read it to you. It's rather long, so I put it on the screens for you. And then if you see a word in a different color, I want you to read that word with all the gusto and resurrection power that you have inside of you. Amen? Both campuses, let's do this. Here's what N.T. Wright says. He says, I want to plead how we rethink how we do Easter so as to help each other as a church and as individuals to live what we profess. Easter is about the wild delight of God's creative power. We ought to shout hallelujahs instead of murmuring them. We should light every candle in the building instead of only some. We should give every man, woman, child, cat, dog, and mouse in a place a candle to hold. We should have a real bonfire, and we should splash water about as we renew our baptismal vows. Easter is about the real Jesus coming out of the real tomb and getting God's real creation underway. Easter week itself ought not be the time when all the clergy sigh with relief and go on holiday. It ought to be an 8-day festival with champagne served after morning prayer or even before, with lots of hallelujahs and extra hymns and spectacular anthems. Is it any wonder people find it hard to believe in the resurrection of Jesus if we don't throw our hats in the air? Is it any wonder the world doesn't take much notice if Easter is celebrated as simply the one-day happy ending tacked on to 40 days of fasting and gloom, known as the Lenten season we just went through? And then he closes by saying this, take Christmas away, and in biblical terms, you lose two chapters at the front of Matthew and Luke, nothing else. Take Easter away and you don't have a New Testament. You don't have a Christianity. As Paul says, you are still in your sins. And so we should not allow the secular world with its schedules and habits and para-religious events, its cute Easter bunnies to blow us off course. This is our greatest day and we should put the flags out. How good is that? It's not just our greatest day once a year, it's our greatest day every day of the year. It's the day that Jesus woke up with victory, and now you and I, every day we wake up in victory. So I want to talk today in my sermon two reasons we don't Easter every day. We don't Easter as a verb, Easter 365, and then I want to give you one answer that can kind of help you on your journey to Easter every day. I think the two reasons that I see are disbelief and distraction. So first, let's go the disbelief route, which simply means there's a lack of faith. You don't believe it to be true or real, or maybe it's not true for you. This, by the way, according to the latest State of the City project here in Omaha, represents 1/3 of the people that live in the city of Omaha. They do not believe, they do not know that it's for them. And the invitation on Easter, on any day, is that if that's you, today is the day that you can believe and profess a faith in Jesus. And if I could talk to you for a moment, on a real serious level, everybody needs to look into the resurrection to see, did this really happen or not? Go on a journey to see, did Jesus really rise from the dead? C.S. Lewis, the great author and theologian, once said, when Jesus was talking about all the claims of dying and rising, he said, he's either one of three things, a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord. And if he died and actually rose from the dead, he's certainly not a liar and he's not a lunatic. He's got to be the Lord. And so which one is he to you? Because I believe that if you look into the resurrection, you will see that there is historical factual evidence that on the very first Easter day, 33 AD, a dead Jesus that was in a tomb came out alive. And all of us will have to figure out what that means for our lives. And so again, my invitation is I want you to go into a journey looking into, did the resurrection of Jesus really happen? And actually, I've got a QR code that I'd love for you to scan if you're disbelieving or not certain. And actually, why don't everybody go ahead and pull your phone out right now and go ahead and scan this QR code, because I know that all of us, we may know 1/3 of the people in Omaha. You may know some of those. You may have people in your family or friends that don't believe in Jesus. And this is a really great link for them to grab to say, Jesus really did rise. And even if you are in belief, let me tell you, I know the enemy will come and work overtime. And next February, when it's negative 22 degrees out, wind chill, and it feels like everything is going to, you know, where in a handbasket, sometimes it's just good to remind ourselves that not only spring is coming, but Jesus is coming back too. You'll need that good news at that point too. So that link is for everybody. Because There are more than 2 billion people right now in the world that believe in what I'm talking about today. That's a high, substantial number of people. And I believe that with that high amount of people, it's very wise stewardship of your life, no matter who you are, to spend several hours looking into, is this real or not? Because the Bible teaches that when Christ returns, every person will have to account for this question. Is Jesus Christ not only the Savior of the world, but your Savior? And according to the Bible, if the answer is yes, then you have eternity forever with Jesus in heaven. And if the answer is no, then you also have eternity forever, but without God's presence in hell. And I would hate for you to have not spent a few hours looking into the resurrection when you get to the end, with the consequences being that. So what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 9, he says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that good? That shows to the one-third of people that disbelieve right now that you too can believe, that there is no prerequisite. This is not exclusive. The invitation is for any and all, anyone who believes in him, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. And so if you're in the disbelief category or know someone that is, go on a journey, help them on a journey to see that Jesus really is the Savior, not just of the world, but of your life. Second reason that I think all of us in the room can relate to is distraction. It's a big one from the enemy, and I know that he's working overtime, because in the state of the city, the thing I mentioned earlier, the number one spiritual category of people in our city are people that profess to be believers but are not actively following Jesus. It's actually 51%, and so one out of every two people in Omaha, as you visit the grocery stores and go to the ball fields, half the people in our city profess a belief. They're probably celebrating Easter as a noun today, but they struggle to know what it actually looks like to live out of the reality of Easter every day and to actually follow Jesus. And that's because the enemy, even after Jesus and the Holy Spirit has brought faith into you, works overtime and distracts you with things of this world, both good and bad, to pull you away from this truth. And I know that because I know he's done that for me. That rather than keeping my eyes focused on Christ, my eyes can sometimes go to my bank accounts and my investments and my personal net worth. That rather than scanning God's word for truth, sometimes my eyes can scroll through Netflix to see what the latest show or documentary might be. Instead of finding comfort through prayer, sometimes I find my comfort through what others think about me. When life is difficult, sometimes to soothe myself, rather than worshiping God, I can just watch hour after hour after hour of sports. Instead of accepting the worth of the paid cost of Jesus, I can find my worth too easily in the success or lack thereof of my career. And I'm not knocking any of those things. Bank accounts, investments, net worth, Netflix, documentaries, sports, what people think of you, your career. Those, you know what they all are? They're all good things. But that's only what they are in comparison to God. And I believe the great sin of our day in our city and in our nation is that we settle sometimes for good rather than great, rather than the best, which is God. We settle for created things rather than the Creator. And I know that the pull of the world is strong because we act like it is. We live that out in reality. We even live by, I'm sure you've heard the acronym probably, hashtag YOLO, you only live once. And so because you only live once, like eat, drink, and be merry, and last hurrahs, and live it up because this is all you got, right? But the reality is that's not biblical or true. The correct acronym is YALT, you actually live twice, right? I mean, somebody should make a shirt and do something with that and give me 10% of the royalties, please. Because that's what the Bible says. You live once in this world for a short time, seconds to 120 years. But when Jesus comes back again and raises you up from the dead again, you live forever. And too many of us are living in the YOLO and forgetting about the YALT. That we have forever in eternity with God. And so we start settling for building our little earthly kingdoms in this world because it feels good and it feels like we're doing something important. But the most important thing you can do in this world is not actually what you do in this world or for this world. It's what you do for eternity. because you actually live twice. And so whether we disbelieve or distraction or whatever it might be that keeps us from Easter 365, from Eastering as a verb, what's the answer? How do we do this well? And I admit it's not a trendy word, but it's an important word. And it's the word discipline. Everybody say discipline. Discipline. Yeah, some of you seemed disappointed with that word discipline. Seriously, Zach, you're bringing me on Easter to teach me English and the word discipline? Yeah, that's what I'm doing today. It may not be the most trendy or exciting word, but I believe a discipline I'm going to teach you can be so important to Easter every day. And so let me kind of build to it, because I think the discipline itself will get more exciting if you allow me a few moments to build to it. And again, I need to give credit to Pastor Stephen Furtick. After I was reading this in December, I heard a New Year's message from Stephen Furtick of Elevation Church, and he was talking about the importance of days. And of course, he was doing it in the new year to talk about the importance of all the days that come in the year. And as I was listening to him, I was thinking this is wonderful, because I really like the idea that we pull from here, that we can celebrate Easter in a different way. But you know me, if you've been to King of Kings, you know I like to be really practical with the message. I don't like to just give knowledge. Like, right, the knowledge is great. And the knowledge on Easter, I think a lot of us know that Jesus, who once was dead, rose again. Now, what does that mean for us? And so I really liked what Pastor Stephen Furtick says, because he talked about a lot of us feel like our days just kind of happen and that we have no control over our days. And the way we see this is when you or I or other people say the three-word phrase, one day when. Everybody say, one day when. And we do this all the time. You say it, you hear it. One day. One day when my kids are out of the house, then wife, we'll go on that honeymoon I never gave you. Or one day when we have money, then we'll have kids. One day when I have time, then I'll volunteer. Or that's when I'll start writing that book that God put inside of me. One day when I get my dream job, then I'll be happy. One day when I read through all the Bible, then I'll tell my friends about Jesus. One day when I get done with college, then I'll take my faith serious. One day when I get that six pack of abs. Yeah, right. Good luck on that one. Anyway, if you got that down, like, you're awesome. One day when I reach this goal, one day when I accomplish this, one day when the Huskers get the 5-star recruit quarterback. We'll see what happens. But here's what I came to tell you this Easter Sunday is one day people, they don't just happen. One day when people are what? They're the type of people that we want to be. They're the ideal version of who we want to be. And I believe spiritually a lot of times, like, they're the person God desires us to be as well. But one day when people don't just happen, the only way to become the one day when person that you want to be and that God desires you to be is to focus on the one day when. Everybody say, one day when. One day when only happens through one day wins. And let me tell you how this relates to Easter and break it down for you. Easter, what is it? The ultimate one day win. When despite all the odds against him, Jesus got up from the grave and did what no one had ever done before. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, he raised himself up from the dead. How good is that? And that's a one day win that has eternal consequences for you and for me, because when we were losing, when we were lost in our sin, God demonstrated his love for us, that he became sin so that you and I would wear his righteousness forever. That's the one day win that we get to celebrate today and every day of our life. And it's beautiful. And I really believe that the best way to Easter as a verb is for that same resurrection power that God put inside of you, for you to exercise that on the daily and for you to win every single day for the glory of God. That's what it looks like to Easter as a verb. Every time we win for the glory of God, not only do you get the W, which always feels good and fulfilling, but he gets the glory. And that's what this day is all about. And if you don't believe me, the Apostle Paul talks about this in Romans 8. Listen as I read these words, like, how much can come against us in the world, and yet still the label that he's going to put on us in this section is that we are more than conquerors. The Greek actually says mega conquerors. Here's what he says in Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, Easter message, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. You're a mega conqueror. You're put in this world to win and overcome whatever comes at you. How? Through him who loved us. For I am convinced, listen to this list and tell me if anything falls outside of it, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whew. The world can throw whatever at you, but you are in Christ. And the same resurrection power that rose up Jesus from the dead earlier in that chapter, Romans 8 says, lives in you. And so here's the discipline. I know you weren't excited about learning a discipline, but it could change your life. Track and stack one day wins. Everybody say, I'm gonna track. Say, I'm gonna stack. Say, one day wins. Quit focusing on the one day when person you want to be and focus on the one day win that you can have today for the glory of God. And there's lots of one day wins. Like, you can have one day wins physically that I think are really good for you to go on that journey. And so if you wanna lose weight, you know, go into the gym every day. If you wanna save money, like saving money at the first day of the month is really good. If you wanna have a long lasting marriage, dating your spouse every week or so is really good. Like, these are all one day wins you can have physically. But really what I'm talking about today is spiritual one day wins. You can grow in your relationship with God every single day. You can grow in your relationship with God by doing daily things, daily disciplines. You can read the Bible every single day. You can engage in prayer every single day. Every morning you can wake up and write down what you are grateful for. You can't do it every day, but every Sunday you can come to church and hear a gospel message about a God who loves you, who died and rose again, that we talk about not just on Easter, but every Sunday of the year. By the way, you all get a one-day win today. Congratulations, you did it. You did it, you're here. Yeah, that's good. Some maybe not everyday disciplines, but there could be other one-day wins for you. Sometimes your one-day win is how you don't fall into temptation and sin. If you're fighting lust, perhaps your one-day win is every day you don't go to that website. If you're struggling with addiction, every day you don't have a drink, every day you don't do that drug, that's a one day win. And God is proud of you. God loves you. God put us here to win. When we win for the glory of God, not only again is it fulfilling and joyful on this side of heaven, but it gives all the glory to God. And the reality is, we weren't put in this world to win alone. We were put to win together. And so that's why we do church, and that's why we want to invite you to come back even next week. You have this little book on your seat called Walk the Talk. We're doing a sermon series on the book of James, which many scholars believe is the most practical book in all of the New Testament. Because we want to give you Easter as a verb, but we want to help you walk it out, and how you can walk it out and what your one day wins can look like change based on the season that you're in. But no matter what season you're in, you can win every day. You don't have to wait for the full moon after the northern spring equinox. As if we even care about those things. You can celebrate the resurrection of Jesus any day and every day. And friends, isn't he worthy of that? You can not only grow in your relationship with God, but you can help others grow in their relationship too. And so great one day wins for you might be just sharing the good news of Jesus with your neighbors, with your family, with your friends. Open up and share your story and see what God does. We'll only become the one day win people when we track and stack the one day wins all for the glory of God. Will you stand at both campuses? Let me pray for you. God, we thank you that this is the ultimate one day win, that when I was losing, when I was lost and had no chance, you came and you entered and you died a death that I and all of us deserved to die. And so we receive this morning your grace. For those that disbelieve, Holy Spirit, bring truth into their life right now or as they investigate the resurrection claims that we're talking about here today. May we stay disciplined because we love you and we want to bring glory to you. For God, you are worthy of our best. Thank you that we can come together and get hyped up on this one day. But you are a living hope that goes with us every day. So Lord, Easter's a great noun, but it's even better as a verb in every one of our lives. We love you, Jesus, and we pray this in your name. And together, both campuses say, amen. Amen. Hey, we're gonna...